And we're holding in Megillah, page Zion, Ois Tes. There's a series of Mishnayos in this Perek that all begin Ein Bein. There's no difference between this and that, except for one particular halacha. It starts out with there's no difference between Adurishin and Adursheni, meaning, as the Gemara explains, between Yudalot and Tesvav, Adurishin and Adursheni, except for Kriyas and Megillah and Matanos Lev Yonim. The point being that on Purim Katan, Shushan Purim Katan, you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to make a spadim, just like you can't on Purim and Shushan Purim. So therefore, that leads it into a series of other Mishnayos that begin Ein Bein, that talk about there's no difference between this and that, except for one particular halacha, where in each one, the Gemara points out, it means that as far as other dinim, they are the same, but only in this one thing are we saying there's a difference. So one of them is Ein Bein Sfarim, the Tefillin of Mezuzis. There's no difference between Sifrei Torah, or actually Rashi says Sfarim means more generally, Sfarim of Tanakh versus Tefillin and Mezuzos, Eloshah Sfarim Nechtovim B'chol Loshen. The difference is that Sfarim, books of Tanakh, can be written in any Loshen, or Tefillin and Mezuzos and Nechtovim, El Ashuris, whereas Tefillin and Mezuzos can only be written in Ashuris, meaning in Loshen Kodesh and in the Ksav, of Lashon Kodesh. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, the different possibilities. Was there ever a time when Divrei Kodesh were written in Ksav Ivre instead? We said the Ritzvah brought based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin that there was. Kosev disagrees with that concept, but definitely they used it for Divrei Chol. Anyway, Ksav Ashuri is the actual Sefer Torah letters that we're familiar with. Even when we say as far as Sfarim to write them B'chol Loshen, Eitz Yosef over here brings from Turei Evan on the Masechta, who says that there would be a difference between whether you're talking about to learn them or to be Yotze the mitzvah of writing them. To be Yotze the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah would only be in Loshen Kodesh. When you're writing them in order to learn, then the Tanna Kamma is saying you can write them in any language. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, after Sforim, lo hitirushi kosvu ela b'loshen Yevonis. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, even when it comes to Sforim of Tanakh, or specifically to Chumashim, the five Chumashim, the Chachamim would matter only to write them in Greek for reasons that now the Gemara is going to discuss. So the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda, after hitiru Rabbi Senu Yevonis, even when the Chachamim allowed Greek, lo hitiru ela b'sefer Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had said, b'sforim, which could mean all 24 books of Tanakh. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no, within that, even then, Yevonis is allowed only for the five books of the Torah, or Mishum Maisi the Talmai HaMelech. Because of the story that happened with Talmai HaMelech, given that we see, as the story is going to go now, that they wrote for him the five Chumashim in a Greek translation, so that gives us a basis for saying that in the future also, you can write Greek translations of the five Chumashim, but not the rest of Nach. Later on, you have, by the way, the Targum that we're going to talk about over here that was made by 72 Skenim is famously called in English the Septuagint, which means, or however you pronounce it exactly, whatever, it means the 70 because it was composed by 70 or 72 Zakenim. Later on, other people went and translated the rest of the books of Tanakh also. They have a Septuagint to the entire 24 books of Tanakh. But from our Gemara, it comes out that the Chachamim in the times of Talmai translated only the five Chumashim. So, Maihi, what is the story? The Tanya, Maisa of Talmai HaMelech, it happened with King Talmai. He was ruled over Egypt. So you have Alexander the Great had conquered pretty much the whole known world. We learned earlier, which is actually later in the Perek and Megillah, that he's one of the emperors who ruled over the entire known world. When he died young, his kingdom was split up into four major parts and a bunch of other minor parts. Daniel had already had a vision about this decades earlier. So one of those parts was the kingdom of Mitzrayim, which wound up in the hands of one of his generals named Ptolemy in English, or Talmai in Lashon Kodesh, and his descendants, all named Ptolemy after him, continued to rule there for several hundred years. So one of these Talmais, Shekonas Ein Beis Zkenim, he gathered together 72 Chachamim, Vahoshivim Ba'ayin Beis Batim. He put them in 72 different rooms. V'legilovahem al-mak konsam. He didn't tell them what he had gathered them for. V'nichnas etzo kol echad b'echad. Then he goes individually to each one. V'omolam, he tells them, kisvili toras Moshe Rabchem, write out for me a translation of your Rebbe Moshe's Torah. So he wanted to see that but Pashtus, everyone is going to come up with a different translation. Then you can say, you know, in a positive sense, he could use that maybe to understand the Torah in different ways. In a negative sense, he could use that to say, like, you don't know what you're talking about. No two of you can agree on how to translate the Torah, which is you're saying is the Chochmah of Hashem, etc. Well, the Nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eitz HaBalev Kalach HaVeachad, the Eivishter gave the same idea into everyone's heart. V'Iskima Daita Madas Echad, they all came up with the same translation with all the differences that now the Gemara is going to mention, a bunch of changes that they made in order that Talmai shouldn't misinterpret the Torah. There is, by the way, a different place where it says that he gathered together five Chachamim and had them translate the Torah. So there's an explanation on it that the vote was, first he had five Chachamim and they were all sitting together. So afterwards he thinks to himself, well, yeah, of course, you know, the five of them were sitting together. So of course they consulted with one another. Let's see now if we have a bunch of them, each one working individually, if it's going to come out anything accurate. The Eibishter arranged that it did. So the first thing, the first change they made was Elikim Bara Bereshis. Instead of translating in the order Bereshis Bara Elikim, they translated as if the words were written Elikim Bara Bereshis. Why? Rashi explains, because otherwise Talmai, being a goy in Ovid Avodah Zarah, is likely to think that Bereshis is the name of a Getchka who created Elikim. Bereshis Bara created Elikim. Chas v'shalom. Bereshis means in the beginning, right? But So Tosfos points out Talmai would expect that the first thing it should say should be the name of the creator. So therefore, so if it says Bereshis first, then he's gonna conclude that Bereshis is what created Elikim. But you have to realize in all the Goyish mythologies of that time, they all had a major part of their mythology is how their Getchkas themselves, how their deities themselves were created. They have whole mythologies about how their gods themselves were created. So naturally, Talmai is going to think the same kind of thing. So you have to write him in this way. So he would think Shtei Rishuyos Hem. Marsha goes on and discusses it further that the idea is so the real reason why the Eibishter doesn't put his name first for one thing is because of a matter of anivus. The Eibishter always acts in a humble way, so therefore he doesn't have to put his name first for the first word. But then he goes on to to talk about that you could also, for example, you could say you could understand that it means that there was an existence that created that existed before Hashem, and then Hashem they could even some of the Mefarshim explain over here. You know, you have the idea of the Kodalei Lekodei Lekaya. The Goyim think of Hashem as the power above all powers, and then they think that he delegated the world to inferior powers. So they're going to claim Bereshis Bara Elikim, and then Elikim is the one who actually went and created everything, and meanwhile so to speak, is supervising it all from above. So to avoid all that kind of thing is why they translated with the word of the Kim first. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it. Our Torah begins with a beis representing, when you're learning Torah, there has to be an aleph before it. You have to first have a knowledge that you're learning the Eivishter's Torah and to connect with the Eivishter. Then you're ready for beis for the Torah. A goy doesn't learn Torah to connect to the Eivishter to the extent that he learns, and b'chlal, goy, akum sh'osik, but Torah is not such a simple thing anyway, but even to the extent that he does have to learn it, is he's learning it just to know what he should and shouldn't do. For him, the Torah is aleph. He doesn't need to have any prerequisite of connecting with the Eivishter because that's not for him. Therefore, his Torah, in effect, can begin with an aleph. The next one is, Esa Odim Betzelam Uvidmus. The Pasuk says, Nasa Odim Betzalmenu Kudmusenu. The problem was, then he's going to think that there are two gods, Nasa, we will make. The real reason is because Hashem consulted Kavyochol with the Pamali Shamayla and Pamali Shamata. Again, a demonstration of the Eibishter's Anivus. But again, the Talmai is not going to buy that, and therefore they had to write it in singular form. And there's also B'tselem V'dmus. They had to also, within that, they couldn't say B'tselmeinu Kidmuseinu, first of all, for the same reason. He's going to think Shtei Rishuyos, but also, what do you mean? Your God has B'tselem and Mus. I thought he ain't like Guf, like Mus Aguf. So therefore they had to change B'tselem V'dmus. Hashem said, I'll create man with an image and with a form, not with my image and my form. The next one is, you have the Pasuk actually goes, Vayichal Elikim Bayim HaShvi'i. But problem with that now. Now, really what that means is, now what does that mean? Hashem finished on the seventh day. Hashem didn't create on Shabbos. So what it means is, one meaning of it is that the Eibishter created, the last thing the Eibishter created is the concept of Menucha, the concept of Shabbos. But again, Talmud is also the idea that, as Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, that the Eibishter is able to go until Kachot HaSayra, because he knows exactly the moment when Shabbos begins. So to our Fleshika eyes, it would look like he went into Shabbos, but really he didn't. Anyway, Talmai is not going to buy all of that, so therefore they translated by Echal, by Yemashishi, by Yishbos, by Yemashvi. He completed his work on the sixth day and rested on the seventh. Why is it important that Talmai shouldn't misunderstand that, Mistama? Because, like this, for example, you know, we make a big deal of that we keep Shabbos because the Eibishter did, and it's important that Talmai, being the ruler of Mitzrayim, and at this point he's also the ruler of Eretz Yisrael, should realize Shabbos is sacrosanct for us, and there's no playing around with it. If you start saying that the Eibishter created on the seventh day, he's likely to say, well, if Hashem could create on the seventh day, I can also make you work on the seventh day. So they have to avoid that kind of issue. The next one is Zohar in the cave of Bra'oi, Volokosu Bra'om. The Pasuk says that Hashem created them, male and female. Now that would sound like Hashem created two separate bodies, and instead they didn't want him to misinterpret that and to think that there were actually two different bodies that Hashem created. Instead, we know we have the different opinions in the Gemara whether it was one body that was that then the Eibishter cut out a piece of it, a zonov, to make chava, or whether it was two bodies back to back. But either way, it wasn't two completely separate bodies. So therefore, they wrote bra'oi, that he created him, as Zohar and Akeva, rather than writing Bra'am, where he's going to misunderstand that it was two separate bodies. What would be the problem with him thinking that Hashem created two separate bodies? Ben Yehoyada makes a point, since we have the Psukim mentioned the name Adam and Chava, if we would understand there were two separate bodies and each one had a male and female, then he's going to start wondering, okay, so what's the name of the other male and female? That means there's something missing from your Torah. Well, if there's something missing from your Torah, who knows what else is missing? So they need to avoid that problem, and therefore they're to forestall that is why they wrote Bra'oi. And Mao Shaw also deals with the question, why do they have to change it over here? What about earlier in the parasha when it says Zohar and Akeva, Bara'oi Sam, earlier in Parashas Bereishis? Why aren't they afraid that Talmai is going to misinterpret that as well? So the idea is that, there, of course, it's clear that you have a klal, and then you have a prat, that Vayivra Lekimasa Odin Betzalmai, and later on it gives the detail about how the Eibishter created Chava. You often have a klal and then a prat, that Rashi mentions on the Psukim over there. You have Perek Beis recapitulates a lot of the things from Perek Aleph, but tells the pratim of them that you didn't have in Perek Aleph. For example, it mentions generically that the Eibishter created the Chayas. In Perek Beis, it mentions the details that he brought them to Adam to name them, and so forth, with a lot of other things like that. So even Talmai, with his Goyish cup, is not going to have such a problem with that. But in Perek Hey, when all it says is Zohar and Akeva Bra'am, and there's no prat afterwards, that's when he's going to start thinking that there are two different gophers, and therefore they have to change it. The next one is by the Tower of Babel. Hova Erdav Evlo Shem Sfasam. Hashem says, I will go down and I will confuse their language. Again, in the Pasuk, it says it in plural. Nerdav Novla, which Rashi says, Nimloch Bebasin Shamayla. Again, Talmai is going to think that means that there are two gods, so therefore they have to change it to the singular. The next one, Vatitzchak Sora Bekrei Vehel. Now, the actual Pasuk is Vatitzchak Sora Bekirba, that she laughed inside of her. The problem is that Talmai is then going to think that Hashem is discriminating over here. Here by Avraham, it says, Vayipal Avraham upon a Vayitzchak, and Hashem didn't tell him off for it. Then you have Vatitzchak Sara Bekirba, and Hashem is saying, Lama Zetzachka Sara. So why is the Eibishter treating her differently than him? So like this, Bekreveha, it's not Bekirba that it's inside her. It's Bekreveha that she laughed among her relatives. Whereas by Avraham, the Tzchoik was in his heart. So therefore, that's Talmai will realize it's reasonable enough. Avraham laughed privately, therefore the Eibishter doesn't mind it. Sara is laughing and among her relatives, and therefore the Eibishter objected to that. But the real reason is because Avraham laughed at it, as Rashi explains on the Psukim. Avraham laughed in happiness, Sara laughed in mockery, but again, Talmai is not going to buy that distinction. Next. The next one is in Yaakov's brachas, and then when he criticizes Shimon and Levi for killing out Shem. So the actual pasuk goes, Kiva apam hogu ish In their anger, they killed a man over at Sonam Ikru Shur, and with their deliberateness, they uprooted an ox. So it's talking about how they wiped out the people of Shechem and took all the animals. Now they didn't want the Talmai is going to accuse the Yaakov's sons of being murderers. So therefore they changed it to Kiba Apam Hogu Shur. In their anger, they killed an ox over at Sonam Iku Avus, and with their willfulness, they uprooted a manger, a trough which the animals eat out of. The vote is, in other words, so that means the effect is, in other words, they're saying that the people of Shechem are no more important and their death is no more significant than the death of an ox. So therefore, so that way, at least Talmai won't think that's giving license to go and kill Goy. Tosfos points out later on, and Marshall brings it over here. The fact is, they didn't want to write an actual lie to him, so they didn't want to change it completely. So therefore, they did keep the word sure. That's why they didn't just say Behema in general. The fact is, later on in the pasuk, it does say sure. And in fact, when the pasuk says "Uratzonim ikru shur," the Gemara in Yuma points out, we learned this before, that this is one of the chamishim mekroes she'en lam hechra. You don't know when the word "orur" at the beginning of the next pasuk doesn't mean "Uratzonim ikru shur." In their willfulness, they uprooted an ox, and then the next pasuk is "Orur apam ki oz," cursed is their anger because it's so fierce. Or is it "Uratzonim ikru shur orur"? With their willfulness, they uprooted the ox of the cursed one, meaning Shamur and Shechem, who are from Canaan. So therefore, there is a basis for saying that they actually killed and wounded animals over there. So it's not completely incorrect to say that they killed animals. Therefore, they changed the pasuk kibbert sonim hogu shur, where really they mean that Shechem and Chamor only count as no better than a shur. But the fact is, they also wiped out the rest of the city. The rest of the city, relative to Shechem and Chamor, can be like a trough that the animal eats out of relative to the animal. They're living among the city, and they're getting they're being supported by the rest of the city. The rest of the city is Chayiv Misa, as we have. The Rambam says because they failed to do dinim, they failed to judge Chamor and Shechem for what they did in kidnapping Dina. That Ramban says they were over Avodah Zarah, but the point is, in other words, we want to show, in other words, that Yaakov, we want to say that we want to say, Marsha explains that like this: if you had the word ish over there, you would say that Yaakov was makbid so strongly as if they killed a person. So therefore, they change it to Vertzaki Hogu Shur, as if to say that no, it was no more important than the killing of a shur. They all deserve Chayiv Misa. So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Malachim, because one of the Sheva Mitzvot Noach is Dinim, and they failed to do that. They failed to do anything when Shechem kidnapped and raped Dinah. So therefore, they were Chayiv Misa for that. The Ramban disagrees with that and holds that that's not necessarily included in Sheva Mitzvot Noach, but he says they were over Avodah Zarah and they were guilty of other Avodas. So therefore, they were Chayiv Misa for that alone. In Gaza, they were Chayiv Misa. It's another matter. Yeah, they were over on Shvichas Domim and who knows what else. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's why they changed that. The next one is in Parashas Shmos, when Moshe is bringing his family to Mitzrayim. Vayikach Moshe es ishto ves bonov. Now the actual pasuk says vayakivim al hachamor. He had them ride on a donkey. But here they didn't want King Talmai is going to wonder what Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a horse or a camel available to. He had to put them on a donkey, dafka, like a poor person. So therefore they changed it al noise bnei adam. On an animal that carries people. So that way, let him think that it means a horse or a donkey or whatever. Again, like Tosfos says, they don't want to blatantly lie and say something a different animal, but they could say, I'm no sibane adam, which implies some other kind of animal that regularly carries people. Some kind of animal that's used as a vehicle. Yeah, a ben yoyada makes a point. In fact, it could even be like this. For example, he could understand that it means part of the question would be you're putting three people on a chamur, isn't tzar bala chayim? You have tzipora and her two children. So no. When you say no sibnei adam, let him think that it means a camel which can comfortably carry three people. The real reason is why Hachamur is he put them on the same donkey that Avraham Avinu had used by the Akedah, and the one that Melech HaMashiach is going to come on, Oni V'Reicham Hachamur. Again, Talmai is not going to know of any of that, and therefore they had to change it for him. The next one is Moshe b'nei Yisrael asher yoshev b'Mitzrayim uv'shara rotzes. Now the pasuk says that the time they were in Mitzrayim is 430 years. Talmai is going to realize, looking at the numbers in the psukim, that can't possibly be correct. Rashi points out, you have Kohos was among those who came down to Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says he lived to 133, and obviously some of that was before he came to Mitzrayim. He didn't come there as a newborn. Then you have, he has a son, Amram, who lived to 137. Then he has a son, Moshe, who was 80 years old by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even if you add together all those figures, even if you were to assume that each one was born on the day his father passed away, you still only have 350 years. And obviously, in reality, you have a lot less, because Kohath and Amram's lives and Amram's and Moshe's lives overlap quite a bit. So Talmai is going to think that Torah doesn't know what it's talking about. Now, the real answer is the 430 years counts from the Bris Ben Absarim. But Talmai is not going to accept that. Therefore, they changed it to the time that they spent in Mitzrayim and in other lands is 430 years. And that way it'll come out. Which is also true, because in fact, it includes the time they were in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you're not going to have it. In fact, in the printed Gemara, the Girsa is that also they changed from Shloshim Shana to Avamei Shana to just Avamei Shana, because that would be a different issue, because Talmai would start protesting that by the Bris Ben Absarim, the Ebeshah tells him, Avamei Shana, so where's the 30 years come from? We know the 400 years counts from when Yitzchak was born, and the 30 years before that from Bris Ben Absarim. But again, Talmai is not going to accept that, so they have to change. The next one, Vayishlach Zatute Bnei Yisrael. In Parshas Mishpatim, it describes the events right before Matan Torah. It says that Moshe sent the Bechorim, the actual Pasuk says it's Nare Bnei Yisrael, which means the young men of Bnei Yisrael. Now that means the Bechorim. In fact, the Ramban on the Pasuk over there explains, Taka, why does the Pasuk call them Nare? Because the point is, it's not that they had any Mila, any individual personal Mila. Their Mila was that they were Bechorim. And before Matan Torah, and before the Chet Egel, the Avodah was done by the Bechorim. But Talmai is going to think, what, you're sending your children, your Na'orim, your lesser people to welcome Hashem? So therefore they change it to Zatute. Now Tosfos points out the word that they didn't want to write, they didn't want to lie, so they didn't want to change it to a word that means the nobles or the important ones or something like that. The word Zatute actually has a double meaning. It can mean the important ones, but it can also mean the little ones. The word zuta, after all, means little. The word zatute can also mean the great ones. So therefore, let Talmai think it means the great ones, and really they know that it means the little ones, the now. And a few psukim later, similarly, val zatute bnei Yisrael l'shalach yodeh, the same idea. Once when it says that really val atzile bnei Yisrael l'shalach yodeh, it means the same thing. It means the same na'orim, that Hashem didn't punish them, even though they acted in a disrespectful way by Matan Torah. So therefore, so again, because the other one they have to change Nare to Zatute, here also they changed Atsile, which is the actual word in the Pasuk, to Zatute. And again, it has the same double meaning, that it can mean here it means the noble ones, but it can also mean, let Talmai think that it means the little ones, or vice versa. Next change they made is Loich Chemed Echad Mehem Nasasi. By Parshas Korach, Moshe is saying to Hashem, they're accusing me of lording it over them, and I'll keep the story, Alenu got me started, etc. Here, I haven't even taken from them one chamur. Is that how the Pasuk says it? Talmai is going to say, you didn't take a chamur from them, you took other things. So they changed it to Loich Chemed Echad Mehem Nasasi. I haven't taken from them any desirable thing. By the way, most of these changes, by the way, later copies of the Septuagint, as they copied and recopied it, eventually they made most of the things in it back to the way it is in the original Chumash. A few of the changes still are preserved in them, Adayim Azen. This is Taka, one of them. You look in the Greek, or you can find it online in Greek and translate it into English, and Taka translate it as any desirable thing. So it's not such a change, because the Reish of Chamur to a Dalet of Chem. Ben Yehoyada makes an interesting point with it. This had to do specifically with the change before. Now, the real reason is that Moshe mentioned the donkey, as he's saying, because even the donkey that I brought my family onto Mitzrayim, and I'm doing it to come there for their sake, take them out of Mitzrayim, I could have charged it to them, and I still didn't. But again, Talmai is going to think, he's not going to realize that. Ben Yehoyada also makes the point that before, what are we saying? That Talmai is going to think that Moshe was poor. Why do you have to put them on a chamur as opposed to some other animal? And he's going to say, look, I understand. Moshe was a Navi. I understand that your Torah says a Navi has to be rich. So where did he become rich? Must be he took things from other people. So therefore, if they only wrote Chamur, then you'd have the problem. Maybe Taki, he took other things from them, and therefore he became rich. Therefore, they had to change it to Chet. Next. The next one is The pasuk says that you have to be careful. You don't look up at the sun and moon and stars and think to worship them. That word they added, Hashem apportioned the sun and the moon and the planets and whatnot to all the nations under the heavens. Now, the real meaning of it is that Hashem made it possible for them. Cholak also means made them slip up. That Hashem made it a slippery slope for them to be able to mistakenly think that those are gods and worship them and wind up in Gehenna. But Talmai is going to mistakenly think that it means that Hashem actually allows them to worship Avodah Zarah. Therefore, they added the word Lahoyer. Hashem gave them to all the nations to shine on the world, not to worship. The next one, similarly, a person goes and worships Avodah Zarah that I didn't command. They had to add the word La'ovdom, that Hashem says, I didn't command to worship them. Otherwise, Talmai is going to say, I didn't command them. What do you mean? So they came into existence without Hashem commanding them? That means they're independent powers. So like this, they're adding to clarify Hashem didn't command to worship them. And the last change they made is the chosvel had been koim ha'arneves in the list of non-kosher animals where you have arneves, the rabbit. Instead, they put as tsiiras haraglayim, the one with the short feet. A rabbit taka has very short front feet. There's a different girsa in some places that says tsiiras haraglayim, which means the animal with hairy feet, which also well describes a rabbit. Because Talmai HaMelech's wife is named Arneves, so you shouldn't say, the Jews are mocking me, and they're writing my wife's name in the Torah among the name of the non-kosher animals. There's a different girsa in a medrash someplace that says instead of Ishtoi, it says Imoi Shal Talmai, and it's Yosef points out, in fact, the first two Talmais, the first one, was named Ptolemy Lagos, where Lagos means rabbit. That was actually his father's name. And then the second one was his son, was named Ptolemy Philadelphus. So therefore, so the vote is not necessarily maybe the wife or the mother, but rather the founder of the whole dynasty is named Lagos, which means rabbit. So he's going to think that they're making fun of him, Okay. So Pisco, we said Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm a choler. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that you're allowed to write the Torah only in Greek. You are allowed to write the Torah in Greek, although the Rambam points out, it was actually in today's Shloshim Parakim of Rambam, that nowadays Greek, that later on the Greek language got corrupted, and therefore it's like any other language, and you can only write in Lashon Parakim. My time at the Rav Shimon Gamliel, what's special about Greek? The pasuk says, Yaftalikim Yefes, Hashem will expand Yefes, Vishkan Ba'ole Shem, and he will dwell in the tents of shame. That means Dvarav Shel Yefes, Yu Ba'ole Shem. The words of Yefes, the language of Yefes, belongs in the tents of shame when we learn Torah. The question is, why Dafka the Greek language? Why not any other language of the descendants of Yefes? Ella, Omra Priva Abba, Omra Bechan, Hainer time at the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omakra, Yaftalikim Yefes. As the pasuk is saying, Hashem, the word yaft can mean expand, but it can also mean make beautiful. The most beautiful thing of Yefes should be in the tents of shame, and the Greek language is the most beautiful out of all the languages of the children of Yefes. In what way is the most beautiful? I mean, it is a very precise language, but I once pointed out Greek is one of those languages that has tones, similar to the way Chinese and Vietnamese and some other languages, the tone, high or low, falling or rising, whatever makes a difference in the meaning of a word. In Greek, it did also. So maybe it's a very musical sounding language. Maybe that's part of what the Gemara means, that it's the most beautiful language. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ola, Yud Gimel Nissen, the Yard site of the Samach Tzedek. La'asid Lavoi, the Tzemach Tzedek points out in Ur HaTorah, when the world is refined, becomes a keli for Ur HaBaya, there's going to be a dira, an actual house for Hashem in the world. By Matan Torah, the world wasn't yet completely refined yet. Then the world was only Ur Shpizcha, a host for Hashem. So only like a temporary place for a guest. But La'asid Lavoi, the whole world, mitzad its own inyan, is going to be misbarred and misnakef. Therefore, the gilui and the aliyah that will also penetrate the entire world in a permanent way. Amen. Halacha. You're not allowed to extract blood from any place in the body. Even, for example, if your gums are bleeding, you're not allowed to suck out the blood on Shabbos. You also, for example, you put on a type of compress or whatever on a wound that causes it to ooze out blood, then you can't do that and certainly not squeeze it to get out blood. All of that, basically, it's a toldah of shoichet. It's a toldah of the melacha of shoichet, of extracting blood, which is chayus, ki adam one nefesh, from the body.